This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, 909, making our way through a rainy Monday morning, and I saw this story a while back, then I saw it again, it got my attention, so we invited Egon Rinderer on, defense expert in cyber warfare against weapons systems, transportation assets, and critical infrastructure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good to be with you.
I wanted to talk about cranes that are made in China that are at the ports and how pervasive this is and how much of an issue it could be if it is an issue. So I guess maybe we'll start with how many Chinese cranes are active at ports?
Yeah, it's about today by most estimates, it's somewhere between 80 and 90% of the gantry cranes in the United States. So that would be, you know, the big cranes that are lifting containers. And that's not just maritime ports. That includes things like multimodal shipping ports, rail ports. So really any of the large ports that you find in the United States, you're generally going to find about 80 to 90% of those cranes are made by one of three Chinese manufacturers. And those three manufacturers actually make up the majority of the gantry cranes found worldwide. So of the top five manufacturers, the top three are of Chinese origin.
You know, I'm looking at a picture of this, a gantry crane. That's the thing that looks like, I don't know, like an inverted L, maybe an upside down L, if you want to call it that. And then I guess it jacks up and down. Is that the way it works, Egon?
Yeah, so it's basically, they can look any number of different ways. They kind of look like just a big iron infrastructure, mm-hmm. So an upside down U or an L. And they're just picking up the large shipping containers and stacking them, right? It's a very simple job, but they're massive, and they basically control our ability to move heavy goods in and out of ports in the United States and worldwide, for that matter.
I'm sorry, I know your time's limited. I'm trying to cram as much in as I can.
Sure,
I don't mean to interrupt you. When it comes to China cornering the market on producing cranes worldwide, how did they get in that position?
Yeah, it's the same way they get in that position in everything that they produce. There's a national subsidizing of the cost of that so that they can sell them much cheaper on the international market. It's no different than what we see with consumer electronics. It's no different than what we see outside of the U.S. with vehicles, right? The Chinese government subsidizes the cost. And you have to remember the Chinese government also has a policy that they want to create a giant intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance network. So anything that they produce that has any sort of electronics in it just becomes part of that network sort of by nature. So it's in their best interest to subsidize those costs.
Countries play the long game, but China plays the long game, right?
Right.
That's accurate?
Yeah, from their perspective, this is all an investment, right? So the more that they can develop that network becomes really critical to hopefully avoiding an outright war, but it comes critical to the Chinese expansion policy that they have. So that network gets used sort of on an ad hoc basis, but when they need it, it's there, it's pre-positioned. They have an ISR network that has global reach, and really they have a bunch of witting participants in helping them install that network across unwitting nations.
I tried to take some notes, but my highly priced Bic stick pen is running out of ink. Did you say between 80 and 90% of the cranes around the ports in the world are Chinese?
That's correct. In the U.S. and globally, yeah. That is according to a study that was done by the Carnegie Endowment. There's a lot of additional studies that are out there, but the Carnegie study is kind of the magnum opus on that topic.
So the worst possible case got part of me says, well, then China controls 90%, 80 to 90% of the ports in the United States and worldwide and could shut them down if they wanted. Am I making too much of a lump?
It's interesting that that's where you went. What most people go to is the intelligence collection aspect of this. And you'll see a lot of articles out there about this, where those cranes can be used for collecting intelligence on what's moving in and out of ports, you know, what ships, what flag they're on, what sort of goods are moving.
A little bit, if we can, Egon, before we get to my concern, let's talk about the intelligence gathering capabilities that they have and what the Chinese could do with that or are doing with it.
Yeah. So if you think about it, these cranes have, you know, they're basically big computers. They have lots of RF connections on them. They have phone home capability. In other words, those cranes will send data back to their manufacturers for the purposes, legitimate purposes, right? Maintenance data and health data and things like that. But these cranes are covered with cameras. They're covered with antennas. They're covered with computers. And those can be repurposed to do any number of things. So they can gather, you know, photographic intelligence, imagery intelligence, RF intelligence, signals intelligence, telemetry data from ships. They can also use those cranes as launching points, right? So unlike the United States, which is sort of from the perspective of the defense network, we have separated electronic warfare and cyber warfare. China doesn't do that. The two are combined. And so they take full advantage when they have a platform like this. They take full advantage of that platform for the purposes of not only collecting intelligence, but sort of pre-positioning capabilities when they want to. So if there's a ship in port and they want to opportunistically collect intelligence on that ship or launch an effect against that ship, they have a pre-positioned platform to do that from.
Launch, effect, pre-positioned platform sounds relatively benign, but I don't think it is. Go into that a little bit more, if you will, Egon, please.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the problems, right, is that the defense industry uses very sort of sanitary terms for things that are actually pretty serious things. And so there's lots of acronyms that fly around, and I think the general public, it's kind of lost on them. But the reality is, you know, when I say launching an effect, that is, I want to install malware on something that doesn't belong to me, and that thing is sitting 500 yards away. If I can do that via an RF link, as the Chinese government, as the Chinese People's Liberation Army, I have a platform from which I can launch those sorts of capabilities over an RF link to a ship that's sitting nearby, right? If we don't think they're doing that, we're being naive.
Egon Renderer is our guest, Chief Technology Officer at Shift.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
five former, I hope this is still accurate, is it, Egon? Former cryptologist?
Former. Yeah, former CTO at Shift 5.
Okay,
yeah.
And a cryptologic technician at the U.S. Navy, with the U.S. Navy. So
many years ago, yeah.
So I guess, do we know, let me take a step back here because my mind is blown at this. You know,
sure.
The emoji with the head blowing up, that's where I am right now. So China can effectively track what 80 to 90% of the worldwide ports are moving, aware whatever happens to be at any given time. Is that accurate?
Yeah, they have a presence in 80 to 90% of the ports worldwide. They can use those platforms, as I described. But don't forget, this is sort of a mosaic effect, right? They have those shipping platforms. They also have the phone you're carrying in your pocket. They also have the electronics that you're carrying in your pocket, right? In the defense world, we have what's called NDAA-compliant electronics, which simply means they don't have Chinese parts in them. Well, in the consumer electronics world, that doesn't exist. Everything is mostly of Chinese origin, or at least manufactured in China, assembled somewhere else, something like that. So this is one of thousands of platforms that they have to collect data from. This just happens to be one that you, and this is, it's interesting that you alluded to this, this also happens to be one that they have control of. So in a conflict, if they wanted to shut down our ability to move heavy goods, they could do that. And that's the thing that you can't forget, right? It's not just about intelligence collection. It's about the ability to shut down ports at will.
That's what I was getting to. And we all know what happened during COVID with how fragile supply chains
that's right.
are. And I, you know, I see a quote here from a story. This goes back to 2024 in September. You say we kind of sold our soul here. And that, boy, I got to tell you, that to me sums it up, because if what I'm hearing and what I'm interpreting is accurate, it seems as though China could paralyze 80 to 90% of the ports in the world if they chose to. Is that being melodramatic?
I would argue that that is absolutely accurate. And it doesn't matter if you have the locomotives and the ships to be able to move the goods if you can't load the goods onto them.
What percentage of goods, products, et cetera, do you know arrive via the ports?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know a percentage off the top of my head, but I would go back. It is. I would go back to the example you gave of COVID, right? And you think about it's not just
COVID,
you know,
exponentially,
durable goods.
Right?
Not just, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Because it's, you know, people think, well, it's, you know, heavy equipment, it's durable goods, it's electronics, it's also food, right? It's also the thing, like, the things that we need on a steady, ongoing basis. Is if there's any interruption in that supply chain, we might have 2 weeks worth on hand. It gets exhausted, and then we have no more inbound.
But we're talking about, in this instance, unlike COVID, not supply chain interruptions here or there. We're talking about supply chain interruptions everywhere at 80 to 90% right. of the ports in the world. Accurate?
So, yeah, opportunistically. So wherever somebody decides we want to interrupt that, you know, the ability to move goods, push a button and make that interruption. So it can be used very tactically. It can be used very strategically.
So theoretically, the Chinese could, and I'm just making stuff up here, but they could invade Taiwan, for example, and say, you know what, we're going to do this. And if you try to stop us, we'll just shut your ports down. Accurate or not?
Yeah, I think it's possibly that. I think what you would probably more likely see is an interruption of port activity just prior to a, you know, just looking at Chinese doctrine, mm-hmm. they would most likely cause an interruption just before an invasion. That it would probably be a precursor, but it could also act as a threat to others who may be considering coming to Taiwan's defense.
When it comes to launching points, and what was that other sanitized term you used, prepositioning, was that what you said?
Prepositioning and launching of effects, yes.
Launching of effects. Could our cell phones be used similarly, maybe to a smaller scale, or not necessarily?
Yeah,
smaller, when you add them up?
It's interesting that you asked that. There's a reason that the federal government banned Huawei devices, for example, in the United States. There are other Chinese manufacturers that are not allowed to sell cell phones or cell phone equipment in the United States. There is a hard ban on using Huawei equipment on telephone switching networks in the U.S., right? There's a reason for that. There's a reason the government is looking at banning TP-Link routers, right? There's a lot of people that are upset about that because TP-Link is a very popular home wireless router. It's less expensive than the competitors. It's more capable. People love them, right? And when the government starts talking about banning those things, it upsets people. But there's a reason that we do that. There is a reason that the federal government, when they take that strong a stance, people need to understand that there is a very good reason for that. And it's to your point, it's because those run-of-the-mill consumer electronics pose a national security threat. So yes, in cases where the Chinese have taken ownership of a device, whether that's directly or indirectly, it could be because they've installed malware on a device, that device gets used as part of a command and control network or part of a capability to launch effects or collect intelligence. They want as broad a net as they can cast for intelligence collection and for effects launching.
You're a defense expert in cyber warfare against weapon systems, transportation assets, and critical infrastructure. You do this for your life's work, so I can't even imagine. You've forgotten more than I'll ever understand about this. But do you sometimes worry about you don't know what you don't know in terms of what the Chinese can do and can't?
Yeah, I think we all do. There's a lot of us that work in this space. There's a lot of people in the Defense Department who work in this space. And I think we're all very humble and we're very cognizant of the fact that we only know what we know. We're learning new things every day. Just like we try to hide the latest and greatest that we're working on as a nation, so does China, so does Russia. And so it is very much like the old days of intelligence gathering and analysis and trying to read the tea leaves a bit. That's still a very real thing. I think to some degree, the general public has kind of gotten a little bit comfortable thinking that, you know, everything is computerized and therefore it's all protected and the government's perfect and we have perfect security. We're learning just like they are. Right. We just try to stay ahead of things a little bit. So, I won't say I wring my hands over it, but I will say it's a lot of work to try to make sure that we're not missing anything.
If we were to ever have hostile relations with China or interaction, it's going to be cyber. It's not going to be military.
Is
that accurate?
The first shot will be fired on the cyber front. And then we'll see if, you know, anything kinetic would follow that.
Or if it could, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Real quick, somebody texted in and said, why is there no USA company manufacturing port cranes? And that goes to how we began a conversation, I'm guessing, Egon, with the fact that China subsidizes that, right?
Yeah, there are a couple of European countries that produce them. They are much more expensive, but they're also considered to be much higher quality. And they are, you know, certainly U.S.-friendly manufacturers. But, yeah, it boils down to convenience and cost. It's the same reason we buy from China in everything that we buy from China, whether it's consumer or industrial. It's convenience and cost.
I know you got to go. I hope you come back as I can talk to you about this for 9 hours. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Love to.
You bet.
Yes,
Egon,
sir. Thank you.
Renderer, defense expert in cyber warfare against weapon systems, transportation assets, and critical infrastructure. Goes back to the Trojan horse. I hate to make it sound like an invasion, but they're here, and we have no idea what they're capable of. 9:25, Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL.